T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's game day, Brew Crew fans, and we'll get you ready before first pitch. Coming up, today's starting lineups. We'll debate the hot topics in Milwaukee. Plus, you'll hear from the skipper, now live from the Fan on Deck studios. This is the Pella Windows and Doors Baseball on Deck Show, presented by Allegra Allergy Relief on Sports Radio, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Yeah, and welcome in, Brewers fans. Time to get you on deck. Game 3, a huge one. It is the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin on Deck Show, presented by Allegra Allergy Relief. Tim Allen getting you ready for the third and final, the game of this weekend set. The rubber match, Brewers and the St. Louis Cardinals, featuring Chase Anderson and Michael Wacha. Needless to say, a lot on the line for the crew today. The season now down to the final 14 games of the 2019 championship season. Brewers' drive to the playoffs continues, sitting just a game back of the second wild card spot and suddenly a couple of games back of the Nationals in the first wild card spot and 4 games back in the Central. A pennant race going on in Milwaukee. And scoreboard watching upon us, a huge victory last night as the Brewers take the ball game 5-2. And they even up the series at a game apiece to set up this big-time gauntlet game in St. Louis. Jordan Lyles yesterday, outstanding for the crew again, giving up just 2 runs over 6 innings of work. One of those runs was earned. 2 runs came in the second inning on a solo home run and an error, as there was a errant steal attempt throw by Yasmani Grandal, and the Cardinals were up 2-0. Lyles settles in after that, buying some time for the Brewers' offense to get on the board, and they did just that in the fourth inning. The hot-hitting Mike Moustakas with a runner aboard.
This one hit well into the gap, long ways, right center field. Gone! A home run for Moustakas. And it is a 2-2 game. And a brand new game here at Busch Stadium.
Moustakas put a charge into that.
Yeah, tough to figure out whether those were moose calls or boos at Busch. But nonetheless, the Brewers tie the ball game up right there in the fourth inning as we approach mid-game into the fifth inning. Brewers get the bases loaded with one out. That included the 98th walk of the year for Yasmani Grandal. And it put Eric Thames into a position to come up with a big hit. He doesn't get the big hit, but he does get the ball in play, and he does get the Brewers the lead.
And this one to left in the shift. And they'll get the runner at second, but the Brewers grab the lead as Grandal comes in to score as the bases were loaded. And Milwaukee will take it. They're out in front, 3-2.
We're going to make an out. Good job by Thames hitting to the opposite field.
Yeah, you like to hear a quiet Busch Stadium as the Brewers take that 3-2 lead. Will the lead stand for a victory for the crew as Lyles finishes up his outing? 6 innings, 6 hits, just a couple of runs, 1 earned, no walks, and 4 strikeouts as he would turn things over to the bullpen in the 7th inning. Jay Jackson would record a couple of outs, and Drew Pomeranz, been outstanding this year, would get the team into the 8th inning with the lead. And the crew could really use some insurance in this ball game. A tight one at Busch, 8th inning. A man aboard for Yasmani Grandal.
And this one hit a ton. Left center field, looking up. Gone for Yasmani Grandal. His 27th round tripper, and the Brewers extend their lead now 5-2 over the Cardinals.
Yeah, what a run he's been on, hitting the long ball.
7th home run in his last 17 games for Yasmani Grandal, and it comes just in the nick of time here as the Brewers are putting their run together. and get it to Josh Hader, and that's your objective at this point in the eighth inning. Drew Pomerantz records an out in that eighth inning, and Junior Guerra has been stellar here as of late, and he gets a couple of men out in that eighth inning, and he does get the game to the ninth inning as Josh Hader leaning on him just a little bit more, and they did just that last night. No problems. A 5-2 victory and 32nd save on the campaign for Josh Hader. The Brewers' victory, 79-69. And again, with 14 games remaining in the hunt, manager Craig Counsell on a big, big win.
Well, I mean, we're down to the point where, there's few enough games where they all feel like huge wins. I think we're going to say that every night. You know, it's 2 weeks left of tense baseball, but wins are, really valuable, really valuable. So on the road against a really good team, valuable stuff.
And it was indeed a big win for the crew. Chase Anderson, a 4.5 ERA with that 6-4 mark, is about ready to take the hill in about an hour from right now, opposite Michael Wacha, who comes in at 6-7 with a 4.97 ERA, but has been known to do well against the Brewers in his career thus far. Big, big game at Busch, Brewers and Cardinals rubber match. Last night, Craig Counsell, you just heard a piece from that. Let's get the scoop from the skipper.
Be at a premium, you guys got just enough, huh?
Yeah, it's gonna be a game like that. We did a nice job. We took advantage of our opportunities. We talked about that before the game, and I thought that's what we did. Moose obviously had a big hit, and then we just put together some good at-bats. Brony's at-bat to draw a walk there was enormous. Eric struggled against him, and he put a ball in play and got us a run.
Awful good game by Grisham and some more big at-bats by Grandal.
Yeah, it just continues to, he's just grinds out at-bats, tough at-bats, walks, the right-handed power that he's shown. He's been valuable in this stretch. He really has. He's carried us offensively in a lot of ways in a good part of the stretch.
Lance just kind of keeps doing it for you, doesn't he?
Yeah, we haven't seen many starts that long in September, but I just thought he was throwing the ball so well, and he's just controlling the game, and he just, it's just making pitches. He's executing pitches, and he just, there might be one mistake. It doesn't detract him ever, a ball in the middle. He keeps making pitches, and the stuff works. It does. It's a lot of lazy fly balls. Up in the zone, did a really nice job.
You look at his pitching, like Craig. One thing that sticks out is zero walks. I mean, look at the walks that hurt their guy.
Yeah, that's right. And in this park right here, I think they do a good job of putting the ball in play. And so when you get base runners, that's how I feel like their innings kind of start rolling. And he didn't let any of that happen tonight.
How much confidence do you have in Pomerantz? The outs that he's giving you, the situation you're putting him in.
Yeah, well, Jordy giving us six tonight, really just lined up the bullpen, and so we were able to get guys in really good spots, and they all did a really nice job. Jay Jackson got two big outs, but Drew's been throwing the ball just really well. He's got another gear out of the bullpen. He's confident, feels good, so it's. He's going to be really important for us down the stretch. He's going to pitch in huge innings.
Are we deep enough in the season that games, maybe wins feel a little bigger than other wins, or can you even go there?
Well, we're down to the point where, there's few enough games where they all feel like huge wins. I think we're going to say that every night. It's 2 weeks left of intense baseball, but wins are, really valuable, really valuable. So. On the road against a really good team, valuable stuff.
This is it's getting to the point now where you lose ground. It's harder to make up when you don't have as many games left.
Well, I think that's the case. We're playing well, we're doing a nice job. We went on a 7-game road trip. We got a game left, and we've picked up a game. That's I think that's playing good baseball.
That's the thing about pennant race baseball. Every game is just magnified, and we scoreboard watch, and we look at every situation, and certainly that is the case right now in regards to Brewers and having 14 games remaining in the 2019 campaign. Every game, and today's a big one. Let's check out today's starting lineups with Waukesha Sports Cards. And we start with the visiting Brewers, who have won 8 of their last 9 games and 10 of their last 13. I think safe to say they are on the run. A 79-69 mark managed by, indeed, Craig Counsell, and he runs this lineup out there. Leading off and playing right field is Trent Grisham. Batting second is the catcher Yasmani Grandal. In the 3 spot is the third baseman Mike Moustakas. Cleaning up, veteran left fielder Ryan Braun. Batting fifth is the first baseman Eric Thames. In the 6th spot, center fielder Lorenzo Cain. Batting seventh, the second baseman Corey Spangenberg. Batting eighth and getting the start at shortstop is Hernan Perez. And batting ninth and doing the pitching is right-hander Chase Anderson, again coming in with a 6-4 mark and a 4.52 earned run average. Once again for the crew here in Game 3, Grisham, Grandal, Moustakas, Braun, Thames, Cain, Spangenberg, Perez, and Chase Anderson. Now for those homestanding St. Louis Cardinals, first place in the Central, managed by Mike Schilt, who come in at 83-65. Leading off and playing right field is Dexter Fowler. Batting second is the second baseman Colton Wong. Batting third is Brewer killer Paul Goldschmidt. He will play first base. Cleaning up for the Cardinals, left fielder Marcell Ozuna. Batting fifth is the shortstop Paul DeJong. Batting sixth is the veteran catcher Yadier Molina. Batting seventh for the Cardinals is the third baseman Tommy Edmond. Batting eighth, center fielder Harrison Bader. Batting ninth, doing the pitching, is right-hander Michael Wacha. Once again for the Cardinals in Game 3, Fowler, Wong, Goldschmidt, Ozuna, DeJong, Molina, Edmond, Bader, and Wacha. Wacha 6-7, a 4.97 ERA coming into this ball game as the Brewers and Cardinals getting ready to go at it. And we're getting you ready, getting you on deck. Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck Show, presented by Allegra Allergy Relief, here on The Fan.
It's time to debate the big issues surrounding the crew. Get ready for the roundtable. Brought to you by McCormick Law Office, the back injury attorneys. This is the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck Show on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Yeah, a huge game in St. Louis today. The game's dwindling down to just 14 as the Brewers find themselves one game out of a playoff berth. But with the Cardinals and their schedule, that is an interesting conversation. And we'll bring in Baby Tosh Bill Schmid. We'll also chat with one of the bigger Brewer fans we know, and that's our producer-engineer today, Evan Heffelfinger, as we join the McCormick Law Office's roundtable. And do you think it's down to this, Billy? And we can talk more on the postgame show about schedules and things like that, but do you think the average fan is just simply looking at the Brewers' standings, find themselves in the outside looking in with 2 weeks to play, or are they a little more invested into the knowledge of that schedule for the St. Louis Cardinals? This division, if they win today, clearly within reach.
Yeah, and it was brought to my attention maybe a week ago when Tom Hargecourt of the Journal Sentinel wrote it and said, outline the schedule that they're going to face. And it really comes down to, if they're going to win this division, the St. Louis Cardinals being them, they're going to earn it because they're going and playing some heavyweights in this league for the next couple of weeks to finish out the year. And, oh, by the way, then they face the Chicago Cubs for 7 of the last 10 games of the season.
Wow.
Which those are going to have huge implications on where the Brewers can finish. Also, which of these spots are the Brewers really looking for?
Yeah, I have to refrain from sort of getting into all that. But at this point, with 2 weeks to go, you can kind of almost memorize it. You know, it's not like you have to look up in terms of the Brewers schedule. It's not like you have to look up what's going on. You've got some teams that are clearly not as good as you on the way out here once you get through St. Louis here. Can they step up and bite you a little bit? Of course they can. That's a big four-game set tomorrow starting at Miller Park against the Padres. But what is to be expected then, Billy, in your mind, then, of the four remaining series? What would be just an expectation, a reasonable, a realistic expectation of these series, Padres and Pirates and Reds and Rockies?
I think you got to win every series, and that's a realistic expectation. You're playing teams that are cellar dwellers, right? You're playing teams that are in the lower level and in the bottom of their divisions. Now, that Red series is going to be the trouble spot. The last week of the season, they really have nothing to play for at that point except for knocking you out and making the Brewers remember who was the thorn in their side pretty much all year long. I brought it up on the postgame show last night. Think of some of the games that you've lost to the Cincinnati Reds this year.
Yeah.
The Suarez two-run shot at home after Saladino hits the grand slam. That Puig game where he ends up scoring from, what was that, second?
On a bumbled play.
On a bumbled error by multiple guys on the Brewers. Like, you've lost a couple of games that you know you should have back against that team that could come back to bite you in the end unless you just put a nail in them in that game and finish it off. They win each of these series. You take up three from the Padres and then two on the way out from each. You're looking at, what is that?
Nine additional wins.
And 88 wins in the end of the year.
And 88 should get you in, right? I mean, it
usually
should.
Usually should, yeah.
It should. I mean, you're chasing down the Cubs and the Nationals, and the Cubs, you know, putting up some big numbers at Wrigley Field against the Pittsburgh Pirates. But, Evan, Heffelfinger, yes, that's his name. Is that realistic to just following this game? Not to overlook this game, not at all. But you can't help but sort of, I mean, salivate at the schedule. But baseball can humble you. It's Padres and it's Pirates, Reds, and Rockies.
Right. I think you are set up well with that schedule, but a lot of teams at this point, they really aren't playing for much except to play spoiler. And I think you could see that, especially with the Reds and the Padres. I think both of them are going to try their absolute best to beat the Brewers. But I think you're right. You have to win all four of these last series, and we were talking off air, you have to go 9-5 or so in your last 14 games to even have a legitimate shot of being anywhere near that second wild card.
Yeah, you get upwards of 88, 89, 90 wins. And again, most years, more times than not, you are going to hit the postseason. How important is that, Billy? And we've talked about that before. I know your response to this, but our listeners don't. How vital is it to have back-to-back postseason bursts?
I think it's absolutely critical to an organization that is trying to cement themselves as a top-notch organization in pro sports. If you're going to put yourself in the category of teams that are consistently giving themselves chances, right, sustainable success, you got to do it once before. Like, you got to be able to showcase that you can get yourself back. So the times that you don't just run it all the way back, right, with the Moustakas, and then you go and add a guy like Yasmani Grandal, who we had this talk last night, Tim, while you were strumming. There might be a situation where Yasmani Grandal is your best option to come back, and he does take another opportunity to go 1 year with you and roll it again and try to play it back one more time. And you get those opportunities to bring in veterans who are ring chasing when they see that you're in the playoffs year in and year out. The youth of this team and the youth of the entire organization, I think it's critical to continuing that slate.
I wonder what Yasmani Grandal would do if he was asked, would you consider coming back to Milwaukee and playing first base on a regular basis? And then they go out and sign a catcher.
It would be a total game changer because right now he leads the league in catcher's offensive production.
You win at that position. Yes,
also
you're one of the best.
Timmy, what has he done here in the last couple of weeks? Is he's caught every game.
Yep.
And he has to right now because Manny Pena's concussion. I'm not putting Freitas back there and having him hit four times a night.
Or Nottingham.
And as much as I like Jacob Nottingham as a dude, I'm not putting him in the game. He's a very, very nice cheerleader in the dugout. But at this point in time, he has to catch every game, and he's been doing a yeoman's effort going out there day in and day out.
McCormick Law Office's roundtable here, Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin on Deck Show, getting you ready for Game 3, Brewers and Cardinals. 34 bombs and a big one last night for Mike Moustakas. Evan, dude, is it vital that they re-sign Mike Moustakas, considering the ramifications of the gamble that it would be with Travis Shaw?
I've been on board re-signing him the entire year. I think you don't go super long-term. Obviously, this is going to be team-friendly, but you go like 3 years, $45 million, something like that. You lock him down for a few years. You know you can play him at second and third. And his bat has been pretty consistent the entire year. But I've been a Yasmani Grandal hater the entire year, but he's starting to show in this last month that he might be the guy you need to re-sign over Moustakas.
Man, he is amazing. We're going to get some NFL scoring updates here in just a second. Billy's going to have that. But Packers on the board, and the Vikings respond.
No, they don't. Dan Bailey misses it from 49 yards. So Packers actually with a second and goal at this moment. Dude, the play calling and the script that they have come out here with the first two drives has been electric. And to make sure everybody knows, Aaron Rodgers does have the play calling sheet on his left wrist.
That's a good thing.
That's a good thing. My man Gary Ellerson's been very hesitant about trusting Aaron Rodgers to be able to be Aaron Rodgers and play within the system. He liked the play calling wrist enough to say that made him feel good. So the Packers going in trying to make it up two scores.
You followed the game last night, and as most Brewers fans did, and you caught a nice gem, another one,
big
I should
time.
Say, from
Craziness.
Jordan Lyles. And he's a guy that I think has earned a multi-year deal from somebody. With the landscape of free agency in baseball these days, wouldn't it behoove him, if offered by the Brewers organization, to go ahead and just knock that out right now instead of laying on the beach and wait until spring training? And we all know how that worked out.
Yeah, and I would think that if you're Jordan Lyles and you have the opportunity to come back to a place that last year he wasn't great, but he had some success for
decent.
The team. He had a couple of big moments in that run, and then this year he comes back, and what does he do? He finds himself, and there's always the mechanic that whether people want to believe it or not, they'll say, hey, man, we saw something that we can change. We saw something.
But they said it when they acquired him.
They saw it when they acquired him, and it was immediate, Tim. It was obvious. Throw the change up more and get on top of guys. Catch the ball, grip, and rip.
Yeah.
And he has been electric, the team winning 8 of his 9 starts. It would make a lot of sense if you're Jordan Lyles to just say, you know what, I like it here. I like this team. I like the opportunity I have, whether it's in the bullpen, whether it's starting, just to be able to be on the roster and try to win games. But that would be just me, and maybe the money will be different somewhere else.
Well, and that's the thing, that maybe heading into the bargaining table in 2021 between the union and MLB, that some of these guys may want to get covered. Of course, all contracts in baseball, all fully guaranteed. Maybe Jordan Lyles wants to set himself up for life.
You would think, yeah.
And sign, I don't know. I mean, seriously, like an $8 to $10, $11 million deal. Fill in the blank of years there. But $8, $9, $10, $11 million over, I don't know, how many years? 2, 3? Is that fair?
I think a 2-3 year deal is definitely fair in that sense. But, well, I also think about it this way, Tim. What is the organization thinking when they just do it and then they give the 2-year deal to a guy that has a big year in Chase Anderson, and then immediately he's not even on your postseason roster the year that you sign him to the money, today's starter?
Yeah.
And they've had these guys where you have a pop-up year and they'll go to you. But if you're Wade Miley and they see that regression is coming, they will make no bones about it and not bring you back.
You'd be amazed at a couple of numbers in the Who's Hot, Who's Not segment today. How Wade Miley finds himself in the not his last two starts.
Whoops.
Ooh.
Yeah, not great.
Man, that's a really
not
tough.
Great.
Real quick, Evan, Jordan Lyles, a keeper. Keep in mind, they're still going to tinker with a Freddie Peralta in that rotation next year. I'm almost convinced of that. And it's funny, we're talking about next year. It's a huge game now. But, I mean, after what Jordan Lyles did last night and how he's been pitching in a Brewers uniform this year, you like him? You sign him?
I think you have to take a flyer on him. I think he could be a Jeremy Jeffress. I was looking at his stats. Every team that Jordan Lyles has played for, he's had a 5-plus ERA. With the Brewers, it's about 2.8. So he could be a Jeremy Jeffress where the only team that he is good with is the Milwaukee Brewers. And if he is, then you have to take a flyer on him. I don't know if I'd give him $8 million a year, but I think something like 2 years, $12 million is something that I would do, somewhere around there. But I don't know if he would take that.
Well, again, though, there's – again, you go to the bargaining table or you lay on a beach in spring training, I would be – hard-pressed to think that people are going to be knocking down the door to grab Jordan Lyles. So, and maybe the Brewers can get a sweet deal with him. And he sees the landscape of this rotation. He knows that he'll be in the mix come spring training. All right, guys, thank you. As the Brewers and Cardinals get ready, Steins Gardens and Homes field in game conditions. Yeah, it doesn't look like there's any problem. Maybe unscathed in this full three-game weekend set in St. Louis as warm temperatures, but unscathed in terms of precipitation. Doesn't look like much of anything is going to hamper Brewers and Cardinals in a huge rubber match here. Cards want this as much as anybody. Brewers want this, and they need to get into playoff contention or at least be in playoff position. Also, this day in history, got an interesting this day in history. What did the Brewers do 11 years ago today? It was a little bit of a shocker. Have that for you coming up. Bella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck Show, presented by Allegra Allergy Relief, here on The Fan.
Now, here's the behind-the-scenes info as we take you inside the clubhouse. Brought to you by Coach's Pub and Grill on South 13th Street. Stop in today for lunch and dinner and try their fabulous Friday fish fry. Now open, Coaches on Lake Dunoon. This is the Pella Windows and Doors On Deck Show on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Yeah, some excitement flying around the Milwaukee Brewers as they have won 8 of their last 9 games and 10 of their last 13 and take a 1-1 mark in the series into the rubber match here against the St. Louis Cardinals. It's Chase Anderson on the bump for the Crew, and it's Michael Wacha for the St. Louis Cardinals. And one thing you're looking for is offensive output. If given time to stay in the game, they've proven here during this run that they can get it done, and they did it last night. Down 2-0, but it wasn't 12-0. It was 2-0, and they come back, Moustakas with a 2-run shot to tie the ball game. They get the ball in play off the bat of Eric Thames to take a lead 3-2 in the fifth. And then they get some insurance late by Yasmani Grandal, a 2-run shot to give the Crew a 5-2. Little more comfortable lead, but you never know. Josh Hader locks down the save, but Yasmani Grandal with that home run in the eighth inning, his seventh in his last 17 games, and a walk machine now with 98 walks on the campaign. After the game last night, was on with Sophia Minert in Fox Sports Wisconsin.
Thanks, Dario. Yasmani, your homer in the eighth, a 2-run shot, a no-doubter off of the lefty, Tyler Webb. How have you been able to maintain the consistency on both sides of the plate?
Like I said before, not thinking about it too much. Studying the game as much as I can, just I can be ready to, hunt or zone or pitches or, to pretty much see what's working or what's not working and how they're pitching me, and just been able to get, bat on ball and hit the ball hard.
This team fell behind early, 2-0 to Jack Flaherty. He's been tremendous since the All-Star break. How much did Mike Moustakas' home run help you guys get back into the game, and then your add-on runs as well?
Yeah, I know. Obviously, Mike with the homer right there just to tie the game, just to get us going, it was huge. And then, we were able to put the couple ABs together, load up the bases, and able to get a run out of that as well so we can be on top. Flaherty, obviously, really good pitcher, just kept battling and just to make sure those guys stayed in the game. And I feel like today, the pitching staff did his job and kept us in the game so that I was able to put a good swing on my idea and seal the deal.
How much did you and Jordan Lyles have to adjust the game plan as it went on? Yeah, it's just to get through that Cardinals lineup and for Jordan to deliver another quality start for this team.
Obviously, I think it was a little bit more about feel than anything. Just seeing what they were trying to look for, what they were trying to sit on, reading swings, body language. And then we pretty much just went from there. He did a pretty good job against them at home in Milwaukee. So and we know they're a pretty tough lineup. So trying to navigate through it and who we wanted to pitch to and who we didn't. And, you know, Jordan obviously did a really good job as well.
Well, there he is, Yasmani Grandal. A lot of conversations on this radio station about who needs to step up down the stretch for the Crew, and he's definitely one of them. It's Yasmani Grandal. 7 homers his last 17 games, getting on base. That two-hole hitter, that's exactly what you need right there. They tinkered with Yasmani in the leadoff spot earlier this year, and it seemed to, he did walk a little bit in that leadoff spot, but he didn't hit very well. And now he's fallen into that two spot, and he is off and running. As the Brewers and Cardinals get ready for Game 3, it is Michael Wacha for the Cards and Chase Anderson on the hill for the Crew. And you go back to a conversation that, as we are inside the clubhouse here, a conversation that Baby Tosh and myself had with Chase Anderson about a month ago at Miller Park. And Chase Anderson, all told, has been a little bit of a savior for this starting rotation. Yeah, the ERA doesn't scream that it's great at 4.52, but almost game in and game out with regular consistencies held this team in the ball game, and that's what they're looking for. Today, once in a while, you get a pop-up blow-up, but that happens with every pitcher. All the way going back to April 20th of this year, inserted into the rotation, and really hasn't looked back, providing some consistency given the fact that Brandon Woodruff and Zach Davies and Gio Gonzalez have all spent their time on the IL, but Chase has been a little bit of a rock. As we head inside the clubhouse, myself and Bill Schmidt with Chase Anderson.
Tim and Tosh in the Brewers clubhouse with the Brewers right-hander Chase Anderson. Chase, how are you, man?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
More important, how you are. You have been a stabilizer. That's gotta feel good for you.
Well, you know, since I've been here as a Brewer, my goal is just to, you know, make an impact and a positive value to the team. You know what I mean? There's going to be bad days out there. You're not going to pitch like you want to. But more than that, if you control what you control between your starts, your routine, all that kind of stuff. Preparation is a big thing for me. Then more times than not, you're going to have good results on that fifth day. So my goal is just to do my thing and try to give our team a chance to win.
Yeah, I looked at just the other day, I was looking through my notes, and I wrote some notes about the breaking camp 25, man, and it had you in the bullpen.
Right.
Boy, how things change.
Yeah, you never know. My goal is just to embrace that role, because I know if I go into that role and not being wholeheartedly into it, if I'm like kind of like, oh, I wish I was starting, kind of thinking negatively, I'm not gonna add value in that role. I'm not gonna pitch right. I'm not gonna do my thing. So I want to embrace that role, be a part of the bullpen, and you know, a month into the season, I get back in the rotation, which, you know, totally out of my control. So my goal is just, like I said, take whatever I'm handed and make the best of it. That's regardless of what that may be.
Yeah. You've always been incredibly honest with us, Chase, and I think that's like really, really a cool thing for pro athletes to do. And like you said, you know, you want to be a starter, you want to help the team, but at some point it comes down to 25 guys looking at each other and being able to win together.
Correct. I mean, and that's the goal. I mean, you see what we did last year. We were one game away from getting the World Series, and I wasn't on any of the postseason rosters, so that was a little bit of fuel going into the offseason to not let that happen again. And that's my goal this year. I want to pitch in the postseason. I want to help lead this team to, you know, the first World Series ever in Milwaukee history.
Can they, with what you've seen so far, can you, with what you've seen so far, do that, take that next step?
I think so. I think with my breaking ball finally getting there, I changed the grip again this season. So that's kind of my fourth pitch. If I can get that pitch going and having 4 weapons to throw to righties and lefties, that's going to give me a good chance to pitch deeper into games and to, take that next step, as you said.
You mentioned pitching deeper into games. How many times, and again, I'm not digging for dirt, Chase. You know that.
Yeah.
How many times have you seen counts coming out there and you're like, man, dude, I've only given up a run?
Yeah, it's tough sometimes, if I'm honest with you. But, I mean, that's why he's the manager and I'm the pitcher, you know. He makes the decision. I do my best to just go with it, because, I mean, I don't want to ever create a negative vibe on the decision he's making, because he's making the best decision for the team, right? And my goal is to pitch until they take the ball out of my hand. That's always been my mentality. And if it's 5 2/3, if it's hopefully 6 innings, 7 innings, that's great. But I think if you look at the numbers and, you know, you look at our bullpen, and, you know, you want to try to shorten the game as much as you can. So I just pitch until the ball's taken out of my hand, and, you know, Council does a great job what he does.
5 2/3, Billy.
Well, and you're never throwing it over the center field wall, which we appreciate that.
Yeah.
We do appreciate that. Chase, at this sense, what do you make of this division? This whole year has just been such a struggle for everybody, but it's just everybody beating up on each other.
Yeah, that's what it is. I mean, look at, we're half a game and a half back, and the Cardinals are right behind us, and Cincinnati is surging, so. Mm-hmm.
And making moves, too, trying to get better.
You know, I mean, we got a month and a half left of the regular season, give or take. It's going to be a dogfight because I know we play the Reds a couple more times. I know we play the Cubs four more times. We play the Cardinals a lot more times, like four or five more times. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be continuing to beat up on each other. And our goal is to hopefully come out with series wins and all those division rivals and, you know, look up and hopefully win this division again.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter who you're beating. But I got to say on the postgame show after the Cubs series, I had said rock bottom. And it really was. It had to hurt.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, yeah, the Cubs are a good team. I mean, and we're a good team, too. And they know what happened last year when we won 163 on their field. And they can still, I feel like they still feel that sting when we beat them, or, you know, they feel good when they beat us. So I think for us and the Cubs and the Cardinals to battle out down the stretch here is going to be a lot of fun for the fans. And we're looking forward to it.
And that was a lot of fun for the fans, I'll tell you that much personally. That was a lot of fun. But when you look at that team, and Tim's right, that was a low point, but you guys bounced back right away. The resiliency of the group seems, I mean, sky high, obviously, after what last season was, but just build off of it.
Yeah, I think to have that resiliency, you had to have a good mixture of guys in the clubhouse. You got to have a guy like a Moustakas, a Kane, a Brawny, guys with a lot of experience, Albers and the pitching staff. And I would say I'm getting toward that veteran state of almost 6 years here in the major leagues, and but I still consider my just one of the guys, you know. But you lean on those guys in those times and how they carry themselves after, you know, you lose three close games, and we go into Pittsburgh and shoot, we swept the Pirates, and yeah, the mixture of young guys, older guys in this clubhouse, it feels like a family like we've had since I've been here, and I think that helps out when you go through those struggles and ups and downs in the season this year. I mean, You look at us early on, we thought we were just going to kind of steamroll and get into beat 10 games up in first place the whole season, and, you know, some injuries, some lack of underperforming and all that kind of stuff, and up and down year for, I think, everybody in our division has made it a dogfight down the stretch, which is, you know, it's a good thing for the fans for sure, and we're hoping to come out on top.
Final thing for you, Chase, you mentioned a couple of F words in there, fuel and family. you're fueled a little bit to get into the postseason, and I completely get that, but you told us in spring training you're also fueled because of the family. You got more mouths to feed.
Yeah, I mean, once you have a kid, then you have another kid, so okay, I got to take care of these kids for at least 18 years, and you want to have some sort of income coming in to take care of those kids, and my goal is to be the best husband I can be when I'm with my wife and with my kids, to be the best dad for them, and then when I come to the field, just to be the best competitor, best teammate I can be. So, yeah, I think all those things go hand in hand, and, you know, if you pitch well and you do your thing, you take care of home when you're at home and the field when you're at field, the money's just a byproduct of that. My dad always said, you know, money's just a byproduct of hard work. You work hard, you earn your keep, and, you know, you get your fair share. So my goal is to continue to look at it that way.
And it's crazy how lucky, hardworking people are, huh?
Yeah. I mean, to be in the position that I'm in right now, I mean, you look around my whole life, and there's a lot of people that said I couldn't get to this point in professional baseball, especially when I was younger and the smallest kid on the field. And, like, this kid ain't going to make it past high school. Mm-hmm. And then I just used that, and my dad always told me, he goes, you know, no matter what people say to you, you got the heart of a lion, you just keep going forward, and you keep chasing your dreams, and don't let nobody stop you, and you had to rip the jersey off of me, and I just have that same mentality to today, and, you know, thankful that I had a father like that to push me in those, you know, at those times to overcome mm-hmm. some of that adversity at a young age, because when you get discouraged more when you're a kid than you do as you get older, because you learn how to handle that criticism a little bit better as you get older, you get a little bit thicker skin, but growing up in Texas in a small town, my dad, he worked 60 hours a week at a fiberglass plant. We had a landscape company that had 75 lawns, and we held firewood in the wintertime, so we were working year-round, three jobs. I didn't have time for girls. Baseball and work, that's all it was. So, I guarantee.
Well, he's watching from upstairs.
He's watching from upstairs for sure, and I guarantee that's the reason why I'm here. It's because I put those things to the back burner and focus on my career, my goal at hand, and I obtained it, and I continue to hopefully can get have a long career.
Well, speaking of long careers, Billy, I think we broke the news. He's going to sign another long-term deal here, right?
Hey. I would love to be the general manager, be able to just ink everybody. Like,
yeah, right.
That's part is, like, I would be the worst because I'd be like, you know what, Chase, let me get you something. Let me work something out here.
Step in here.
Let's figure this out.
The front office staff and the people here have done a great job putting a team together, you know, with what we have. So my goal is to hopefully – I have two options on my contract. My goal is to be here for the next 2 years, and, you know, that's up to them. And, you know, I love it here. It's our second home pretty much, and – you know, if I continue to pitch well, we'll see what happens. But I'm not trying to worry about that right now. I'm trying to worry about getting in the postseason and being the best I can for this team right now.
You worry about that. I'll go make the calls.
Sounds good.
Don't worry about it.
I appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
We got you. Thanks.
Take care.
All right. There he is, today's starter, Chase Anderson. And, yeah, you hear that a lot, Billy, with some of these ball players in Milwaukee here, that they constantly are saying this is their second home. Ryan Braun has said that in the past, and now you get Chase Anderson saying that. It is a little niche, I think, amongst that baseball brotherhood of players. Yeah, they're all underneath the MLB umbrella, but I think it is Milwaukee and playing for the Brewers, I think, is a little niche, and it's a little haven for some of these players.
Yeah, and what they're also able to do, Tim, is settle down with their family in a place that they see what the school system's like. They see if they like certain parts of the atmosphere. And then they also like their teammates, and they also like winning, which also helps you in this sense.
I was going to say, that would put it over the top then.
One of my favorite parts of that interview, as I kind of forgot, was I don't know if it's a rule in the locker room, and maybe Mike Vassallo can let me know, of physically contacting a player.
You probably shouldn't touch him outside of a handshake, maybe.
When we're talking, all of a sudden, I'm like, when I said, Chase, get on in here. I just kind of slapped Chase on the back. Like, come on in here.
Like
let's
an attaboy. Like
and he looks at me, he's like,
oh,
all right, I like this guy.
Okay, I'm
all right
with this.
Yeah, all right, let's do it. Hell yeah.
Hey, 11 years ago today, the Brewers, unprecedented at the time.
Truly unprecedented, yes, you're right.
Firing a manager, the first time that had happened in a non-strike shortened season. So back in 81 it was done, but it's the first time in August or September that a team in playoff position fired a manager, and the Brewers did that with 16 games remaining back 11 years ago today. Ned Yost was released that infamous day, and then Zambrano had that weekend had the no-hitter at Miller Park, and that was a mess. And that was just, again, it worked because Dale Swain took over and got him into the playoffs.
I was pretty stunned when it happened. I was actually in class. I had one teacher that was just a huge sports fan. She comes, pulls me out of the other class that I'm in to race into a room and tell me that the Brewers just fired Ned Yost. And I was staying after school listening and trying to find early ages of Twitter, too. Like, when that was going on, social media was kind of just breaking into the accounts. And it was the biggest shock that I had felt as a sports fan in the city of Milwaukee.
That was your first big shocker?
The first big shocker where I was like, whoa. Huh?
And then it
they
was Brett Favre.
Him?
Then it was Brett Favre leaving, I would think.
Well, thanks to reminding me of that.
Well, I'm just saying.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
That was a shocker to me, I will
Hunter,
say.
Actually, no. See, that one I anticipated because I would have done the exact same thing. You tell me that you don't want me to play for you? Well, then I'm going to go beat you.
Right.
But
that's
I also tough. Love Brett Favre, so anything he does is fine.
Yeah, back 11 years ago, we did a segment on the postgame show, A Toast to Yost.
That was the final toast.
Yeah, it was a Yost is toast at that time. Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck Show presented by Allegra Allergy Relief. Getting you ready for Brewers and Cardinals. A big-time Game 3, the rubber match of this three-game weekend set. As up next, a couple of numbers here. Former Brewer in our Who's Not category. Stick around. Brewers and Cardinals coming up with the Fan.
Some of the Brewers are hot, while some are not. So when it comes to the crew, who's hot and who's not? Brought to you by Bayview Shade and Blind, providing the highest quality window fashions since 1926. Find out more at BayviewShade.com.
And the Brewers and Cardinals play Game 3 of this three-game set. 14 games left here in the 2019 championship season. Tim Allen getting you ready. After the last pitch, you make the switch. Again, Baby Shade and Blind postgame show. We'll be talking Brewers baseball and hopefully a Brewers victory. A victory today will put them in a good position with the remaining 13 games. And that may be an understatement, but you play every game. And I've got some numbers here that will prove out that it's all about winning sometimes. It's not about what the analytics and what the numbers say, because sometimes when you look at the numbers for the Brewers season here in 2019, you wouldn't think they'd have a 10 over 500 mark, and it would almost seem as you'd look to the standings and find them 8.5 back and maybe 6 or 7 back of a wild card berth. And that is not the case here, but let's get a Packers update as we've got a little slugfest going on at Lambeau, don't we, Billy?
Yeah, it's now 21-7 after Dalvin Cook housed one from 75 out on a draw cutback, nice play design. And the Packers go up 21-0 in this game, Tim, at one point. And then also they're driving, threatening for another opportunity. And that Viking defense, they're opportunistic, strip Allison of the ball on a nice play where Rodgers stayed two, moved up in the pocket instead of forcing something deep, flipped it out to Allison, a check down at the line of scrimmage. He gained the first down yardage and then couldn't keep the football secure against Xavier Rhodes and Harrison Smith. So the Vikings with the ball, 12 minutes to go in the first half.
Yeah, learning process for a guy like Allison that, you know, in a game where you're up a couple of touchdowns here.
Get down and get the first down yardage and continue on. You're right.
That's right. And you wouldn't want this to happen in a playoff run deep into the season in a big, big game or in a playoff. Sometimes
no doubt about it.
You get away with something like this.
The San Francisco 49ers just put up their third score of the day. It's 20-7 in Cincinnati over the Bengals, 7-6 Chargers over the Lions. It's 3-0 Texans and Jaguars, Patriots 7, Dolphins nothing. Cardinals threatening down 10-3 to the Baltimore Ravens.
All right, there's a little NFL update, and we've got Brewers baseball, Brewers and Cardinals going at it at Busch Stadium. Just a couple of numbers here, and again, stick around. This Wade Miley stat, I just ran across this morning, but we'll get to that in just a second. St. Louis, they win with pitching and timely hitting. They've got the bats there. And you knew it was a matter of time. At one point, they had won 15 of 18 to get on their run. Brewers starting to approach something similar to that. Brewers have won 10 of their last 13 games. And more importantly, 8 of their last 9 as they keep themselves right in this thing. An ERA collective for the Cardinals pitching staff sitting under 4 at 3.80. Wow. Let's get to this Wade Miley thing. Okay, so his last two starts, his ERA bumps from 3.04 on the season, an outstanding year for the former Brewers lefty. It jumps to 3.74. That's a huge jump, guys, in the span of two starts. Not this past start, yesterday, the start before that, he gave up 7 earned runs in 1/3 of an inning. Follows that up with not recording an out and 5 earned runs. So 12 earned runs in the span of 1/3 of an inning.
Well, there goes the run differential in the ERA. Maybe the regression just fired a little bit late on Wade Miley.
I mean, that will cost you some money maybe in a contract, something like that. I mean, you go from 306.
It's also going to cost him some appearances in the playoffs.
374. It could. And, you know, what it does is it starts to eyeball that 4 ERA mm-hmm. for Wade Miley.
Yep.
Hey, they're in the AL. We wish them well until the World Series, right?
Well, yeah, also with that rotation, don't think Wade Miley was cracking it with Verlander, Greinke, and Cole anytime soon.
Yeah, I wasn't crying a river. Yeah, for that. All right, we'll talk to you after the last pitch as you make the switch. Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag Admirals50. Brewers and Cardinals, we got you ready right here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.